This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, in Matthew 21 to 16, we get to the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And I don't know about you, have you ever done fruit picking or something similar? I haven't done much of it at all, I've got to be honest. But there was one this one time as a young child, enticed by free watermelon. One of my mum's friends had a farm up on Oxley Island, just outside of Taree. And they offered to have us come up and stay with them and do some watermelon picking. And I thought, what a fun thing, watermelon picking. It was some of the hottest, dirtiest hard work I've ever done. And it really was. And I remember as the day went on, some of the watermelons that had split open over the previous couple of days, they would just be given to the cows, and the cows, realizing that these tasted good, would eat them. And then the cows got a bit more mooey than normal, and it was because some of those watermelons had actually fermented. Strange but true, happy, happy cows out in the happy, happy paddock. But the free watermelon didn't make up for the aches and pains and the black, soily dirt that was all over us. You know, when we do work, whether it's in the church, out of the church, wherever it is, we have society's values. And I'm going to challenge you today not to fall into the trap of using what society has as their values and standards as that of the Christian values and standards. Because our values and standards are different. They're God's standards. The Christian reward versus what society thinks should be our reward is actually quite different. It doesn't depend on time worked. It doesn't depend on depth of faith, levels of spiritual gift, the heaviness of the work, the sacrifice for the work. The reward is always the same as a Christian person. And it might sound strange, but the reward is forgiveness of sin and eternal life. You can't have more forgiveness of sin or less forgiveness of sin. You can't have more eternal life or less eternal life. You just get the same reward. And you might think that that's unfair. But it's not, because the gifts that are on offer are just the most amazingly beautiful gifts. Now, whether we've worked hard for them in many years or whether we've been a Christian for a moment, it doesn't matter. The reward is the same. And I think that sometimes people get hurt in our churches because we get caught up on who's doing more and who's doing what and how people are valuing this and how people are valuing that and how we value ourselves and see ourselves versus how others see us. And that's not what God calls us to do ever. This is one of those parables that are told that has a challenge to it, a bit of a sting in it. When we read this one, we sometimes miss some of the key things and phrases in it. First, at the start of the day, they are offered a fair day's wage, 1 denarius, and they agreed and willingly go. The landowner sees the harvest is too plentiful and needs more workers. Each time he hires, he offers to pay what is right. And Leviticus 19, verse 13 says, "Do not rob the hired help of their wages." And so it reminds us that, you know, if you have hired help, you're meant to pay them correctly. Well, he pays the last on the last one on to work first. And as he pays them, he pays what he's agreed to pay them, which is he decided he will pay them all a full day's work. He hasn't changed any contracts or his agreements. He hasn't neglected his words. He is the owner, and ultimately he can pay what he chooses. There were no workers' rights back then, only the word of the owner. And he was good to his word. Now, we need to look at the context of this and where it's at in Jesus' ministry. Because in this middle of this parable, you can see that there's going to be some pushback. But Jesus is trying to make a bigger point here about where salvation lies, where forgiveness of sin lies. He knows where it's at. Jesus is actually heading to Jerusalem, and straight after this, he again predicts his death for the third time. He is realizing how hard this concept of being on earth is for the disciples to grasp, so he needs to set them up to understand the future and to understand that the reward is the same for all. And as I've said before, Matthew's gospel is a training manual for the early church, and he's getting it into the minds and the hearts and the souls of all these young Christians as they're learning about Jesus and Christianity, that the reward is the same for all. God's love is equitative. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, slave or free, it doesn't. Paul says that all are one in Christ Jesus and all are equally saved. Christian paradigms are different to that of society's paradigm. And this again is a wrestling for not only the early church, but for us as we get sometimes stuck into our social values and structures and not into God's values and standards. God has no favourites. That's right, apart from me, he has no favourites. Jesus loves you, but I'm his favourite. Sorry, no one else can have that. But you know what I mean? There actually is no favourites in God's book. And when he gives this parable, I just love it because he starts off some of his parables this way. For the kingdom of heaven is like. For the kingdom of heaven is like. And so he goes on. That's right, the kingdom of heaven, and not the world's domain and what's in it. Not union bosses, not politics, not workers' rights, but the kingdom of heaven is like. And so the first thing to note is God is God over all. And from this point, we can see that all of us are equal in value and worth, regardless of when we've started working for him in his kingdom, be it a moment or be it years ago, all are of equal value and worth. The hierarchy of heaven, we'd like to sit there and say, oh, there's a hierarchy in heaven. I've heard people preach on the hierarchy of heaven. Well, you want me to sum up the hierarchy of heaven in just a few short words? It's God, then it's us. That's it. That's it. It's God, that's us. And it's there's no hierarchy that says, oh, well, Nick, you had 7 spiritual gifts and Peter had 4 spiritual gifts and Anthony had 37 spirit. It's not about that at all. It's not about when you became a Christian or how you even used your gifts and talents or how often you went to church or home groups. It's not about how many people you helped find Christ. It's this. Did you engage the work God gave you? And did you love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Christianity is a counterculture. And I repeat this so often. Of note here is the pettiness of the workers. They all got paid what they'd agreed to have paid. Yes, they worked different hours. However, the reward was the deeming of the master. Just as the reward of salvation is equal for all and the deeming of God in heaven. Could you imagine if someone in the church in the middle of a missional role just stood themselves down and stated to all, sorry, I no longer will do this as there are fresh folk here who need to do time to get the rewards of heaven. No. God just says, give, and then give and give, because I give and give to you. So you should just give, be generous. You would think it was a very strange if someone had stood up in church and done that. And yet sometimes this is how people view things in the church. Oh, well, I'm using my gifts and talents. There are others who have gifts and talents in this area. And they're obviously not using it in these areas that I'm in. So they should get off their caboose and do it. Maybe they just need you to be in that, using your gifts and talents to help them connect to God at this season of their life. I actually remember, though, fondly, a man who gave his life to the Lord at hospital in his last days. His sister had told me how, you know, he was in the cancer ward, and he finally decided in his last days he would give his life to Christ. He had a lot of anger and bitterness about the church and what it had done to him. But his sister arrived, and when his sister arrived, she'd been praying for him for years and years that he would yield to God. And she went in there to see him this day, and he told her that he'd become a Christian. She lost it. How dare you live your life this way and that way? How dare you do all this stuff and enjoy this and enjoy that? And then at the end you just, take the get out of hell free card. She declared it was unfair. That he felt he could give his life at the end days. She and I had a good cup of coffee, though. We had a good cup of coffee. And she started to see the goodness of God in how this man's life was touched. God's way is not our way. It never will be, because he's God and God over all. And it's so easily forgotten. God is God and makes decisions based on his pure love for us all. And we don't know the mind of God. We know what his scriptures say, but we don't know the mind of God. He forgives the unforgivable. He loves the unlovable. He restores the rebel. He doesn't stop at once. He does it over and over and over and over again. And God's way is not our way. But you know, in the church, I say, we are a group of people who like to compare. Comparisons are hard, but you know, when we became Christians, we did not do it so to compete or compare our lives with others and say, hey, I'm better than them, or my faith journey is better than their faith journey. We've all yielded our lives for the wonderful privilege to be part of God's family. That's right, all of us. Doesn't matter what denomination or faith you're part of. But I do think that our denominational bonds sometimes distort this view and make us competitive rather than feel like we're part of the family. All of us bear the mark of Jesus' blood, showing our salvation, and all of us bear the same gift of life and being in his Holy Spirit. You know, this is it. Same forgiveness, same empowerment. This is what God gives to us. The last thing we often miss is this: the workers in the vineyard. And it's a big harvest. It's a big harvest, so big. There's still workers coming in at the last hours to help with this harvest because it's so plentiful. It's still like that today. It's still like that today. Here's what's not in there in this parable. There's no cabana chair sitters, no picnic rucker sitters, no observers, no supervisors, just workers in the vineyard. There are no spectators in this. All are the workers in the vineyard. The other thing that's in this is the harvest is too big and too great for those who arrive first, so more and more are always needed to do the work. God's work here on earth is huge, and he chooses us all to be part of this harvest. Oh, and you don't always get to pick the glory roles. Sometimes we all muck in and work together for God's good mission. Even if we think, oh, well, that's not really... I know that God's calling me to do mission in the church, but that's not how I would do it. I've got other ways I could do it. Well, I wonder what season you think the church is in. I think for the past 20 years or so, the church has planted lots but not looked to harvest. Not just in Mount Cola, but across a lot of churches. We've just planted and planted and planted and not actually gone out for the harvest. But this season we are in draws us to the season of hope and a hope of being harvested into people's lives. You know, the assurance of salvation, the assurance of forgiveness, the assurance of being loved, the assurance of being connected and part of the family. See, we have an assurance, but society can only hope for this. We have it. They can only hope. And church, where do you see yourself in this call of God's mission? Here in this place today. You know, did you read the September newsletter? Because in the September newsletter, did you read the season I see coming here now with children and the sounds of children returning to our church through playgroups? It's not the paradigm we've been used to, but it's a paradigm of joy for me as I see these families comfortable, at peace, not sitting awkwardly in a church, just relaxed, having tea and coffee, chatting with different people, living out what it means to be in community as we bless them. But here's the thing, the more comfortable they become, the more they see things, the more that they see this as a new season for our church too. And guess what? This is what I said. I saw all this in our church 20, 30 years ago when I was just a congregation member. But can you see how God's equipped you? How he set your feet on the right paths for this, at this spot, in the very right person, at the very right time, he's called you, he's got you to do this. So what's holding you back? Be part of this new season. When I was thinking about what holds us back and what's held me back in things, in different ministries and missions in the past, sometimes it's my own prejudices or hurts that have held me back and hindered me from going forward. Sometimes it's my expectations of the past or from the past that hinder me. And it can hinder you too. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had these passages of loose and bind. So what do we need to loose? What do we need to release into the church? And what do we need to bind up and get rid of? You know, what do we need to forgive, heal or restore? And is today the day for exactly that? To ask for God to forgive, heal or restore you? Maybe it is. Well, folks, this week, may you stand up strongly in the community and help people see their hopes can be fulfilled here in this place, in God's family. And may we call out, welcome to the family. It's great that you've come to be here with us today. Amen. Let us call that out. Have a blessed week.